Hello.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Oh, hanging in there. Just kind of a lazy, what is today? Saturday? Sleeping, keeping things light until I gotta go to work tonight.
Wow, the life of a college student,
Yeah, you know what?
or
Welcome,
for
Dalton.
Dalton, life of a university student.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're the same thing up in Canada, pretty much, so.
Well, no, because college is kind of like low class in Canada. College is where you go. It's true. College is where you go and you can't get into university.
I mean, kind of, but not
But college
really.
is like everything in the United States. Like, you can go to a really great college.
Well, so right now I go to a college, but next year I will be going to a university.
Wow.
Yeah,
But
I'm moving up.
they'll college because they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to college. Well, boys, the season is slowly coming to a close.
Thankfully, for some Oilers fans.
Yeah, well, surprisingly, the Oilers are not mathematically eliminated yet.
Don't get your hopes up, kid.
Maybe I should write another article because I looked actually before we started recording. I looked, and the Oilers have, if they go 5-0, they have an 11.6% chance.
All I gotta do is just win five straight and hope everybody else loses. It's easy.
So when was the last time the Oilers won five games in a row?
I don't think they've done it all year.
Well, no, they've obviously not done it all year, but have they done it in the last like 3 years?
To the Google machine, I guess.
Yeah. I'm
Yeah,
sure it's been a little while.
I'll say
Well,
no and put you guys out of your misery.
well,
Maybe in like when they went to their little playoff run.
last 5-game win streak for Oilers. NHL Edmonton Oilers winning streak. Let's see here. Oh, geez. Okay, the last 5-game winning streak was 2017. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, 2017. So, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago.
During their little cup run.
Yeah, exactly. Well, boys, so we only had 4 games last week, so we can quickly go and unpack all those because I did a little bit. I came prepared. I got like all the tabs up and like ready. Like I'm ready to go.
Holy.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So the first thing we have is the Winnipeg Jets went and played a potential first round matchup in the Dallas Stars and lost 5-2. This was one where I actually caught a bit of this game, and it looked like the Jets weren't really sure how to handle Sagan and Radulov and Ben. Chris, obviously you watched it, so what do you think, buddy?
Oh boy, I don't know. Jets are a very disappointing team.
Well,
That's
you're in the
like kind of how I feel about the whole thing. I don't know. I just feel like the Jets, had that big win against Nashville. And they like, I think they just believe like, they can turn on a faucet anytime and just play great hockey. And for some, I don't know if they just want the season to be over with yet now, or they just don't have the amount of like concentration they need, but they're just not. They don't play at a high enough level often enough, in my book.
So
They're
you
one of
think
those.
like they're like lacking intensity some nights?
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%. Desire, intensity, passion.
I understand. Then moving on to the Oilers, what a freaking game. The Oilers take on the LA Kings. And man, did I love every second of this game. First off, we beat them 8-4, so that's great. Second off, Nugent Hopkins with a hat trick.
In the first
Draisaitl
period.
with in the first period, a first period hat trick. Draisaitl with a hat trick. 4-point night for Draisaitl. McDavid, I think he put up a 3-point night with three assists or something like that. And just all around, what a freaking game.
Yeah, I was deeply considering just like not even watching this game. And then I was like, you know, we got the podcast. We're going to go talk about it. Might as well give her a look. And yeah, I'm kind of glad I watched this one. It was a very inspirational game.
We'll go it was awesome. It was awesome to see. Honestly, if that's not like that is the obvious game of where like we have three players, and when they all, holy crap.
Yeah, and they look like they're just having fun out there too, right? You can see McDavid and Cassian and Drysdale just joking around with each other. It's like they know they're out of the playoffs now, right? They're just playing for fun now, and it's it really shows.
I think almost in this game they are playing for just like they're all like, well, we're the only ones with real important point totals, so we might as well boost them as much as we can.
Maybe a little bit of that too. Yeah.
Here's a fun little stat for you guys. This was the first time that the Oilers have had two players with a hat trick in one game since Curry and – oh, geez, I actually should have had this stat up.
I know who it is. Do you want to take a guess?
It's not – I know it's not Gretzky because Gretzky had a six-point night with six assists that night. Who is it?
It's Glenn Anderson.
Glenn Anderson. So yeah, that was what a fun game to watch for Oilers fans. All right, moving on then. The Jets then lose to the New York Islanders in a comeback loss fashion. Chris, what happened?
Chris is dead.
Oh, Chris is gone.
All right.
Hello.
He's back.
Welcome, sir.
My screensaver went on, and apparently that shuts everything off. Yeah. I mean, that's happened too many times to the Jets this year. They just, like, collapse in the third period. There's been, like, three or four games where they've had the game in hand, and then they just, like, let it go. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know if they stopped playing or just – I don't know. I can't even explain it. And then, you know, Hellebuck couldn't make a save if his life depended on it. So, yeah, rough, very rough.
Yeah. And then last game of the week is the Oilers had lost a 3-2 shootout loss to the Dallas Stars. So first off, it was a fun game because the Oilers went up 2-0 and then Stars quickly started to kind of crawl their way back into it. We lose in a shootout. Well, kind of doesn't seem very good at those. The two things that came from this game is the first one is Draisaitl hit 100 points.
Hey.
And it's been the first time that two teammates in the NHL had 100 points on the same team since 2009-2010 when Ovechkin and Backstrom. That is some company to be a part of. And then also possibly the goal of the year candidate. Chris, if you want to, you know, just unplug your headphones because me and Dolphin are gonna get a little about this goal.
Oh my god. It's like when you go to sleep at night and then you dream about, like, your Stanley Cup winning goal, that's the kind of goal you score right there, you know. Between the leg, lifts up his foot so he can even get the shot off, and then just roofs it on off. Just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my. When I first watched, so after this thing, the whole game, right? Then first period ends, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make some dinner. I get up, I'm making dinner, I the game start and I hear someone score, so I'm like, okay, so I run back in and I but the problem is I'm making pasta, so my pot has started to overflow. Like, oh crap. So then by the time I get back into it, the play's already continued, they've already done a replay, so I'm like, oh damn, we are up 2-0, I don't know who scored. So I didn't see it live, I didn't see it happen. So I'm like, okay, so then I'm watching the game later and then the replay comes on and I'm watching it and the first angle I see, I'm like, oh, did he just, like, put it on net and ramped off the defender sticking in? Like, kind of put it in as a net? And then they go to a different angle and slow it down, and I fell off the bed.
Yeah. How quickly he made that move with the, like, precision, just everything in it.
Drysdale also, this whole point, Drysdale knocks the puck out of midair, passes it to McDavid, who dangles around the first defender that went down the shot block. And then from a severe angle, he goes up on, he lifts 1 foot. So now he's on 1 foot to put the puck between his legs and this little upstairs. And then his little on the way around. He knew what he did. Oh, he like.
Yeah. Dreisaitl's face in the celebration afterwards, like, it was everybody's face. Like, just like, jaw was on the floor.
Yeah. I'm sure people were impregnated. Like, it was just watching it. It was bad. All right, that's it. We're all good. I'm done. All
right. I think the game itself was pretty good. I thought the Oilers outplayed them for a lot of game.
I did too. For some reason, they have a problem with Anton Khudobin.
Well, I mean, he's elite, don't you know?
I guess so. I should sign him for like $5 million, no move clause, 3 years.
That's a little high. Oh, 4.5 with modified no trade clause.
That's right. That's pretty good. Yeah. And so the games for the week, boys. Chris, you can pull your headphones in.
Chris. Oh God, we lost him.
Yeah, he
took your advice to heart.
I guess so. I guess it did. Dalton, well, quick shout out to you. You actually won last week's predictions.
What?
There was only 4 games, and so you won 2.
I'm so good.
Yeah, so me and you are back to tied. Chris still has a 1-point lead on both of us.
What is there, like 2 weeks left in the season?
So the way I've split it up is this coming week, we're going to do predictions for the last 4 games, Winnipeg, Jets and Edmonton alike. So there'll be 8 games this week. And then next week, when we record the podcast, hopefully on Saturday before the last 2 games for each team of the season. So the last week will just be 2 games, one each. Cool. Oilers, one Jets, one Oilers. That's it. We got to predict them both. And that is it. Then whoever wins, wins.
Wow. We could have some interesting implications coming in depending on who wins this week.
Yeah, if we really wanted to have, like, really bad content, it would end in, like, a tie.
Like, just we, like, give Chris a negative point so that we all tie.
Well, no, I mean, if what really happens is, like, either me or you wins this week, and then whoever didn't win this week wins next week, and we all finish a three-way tie.
What are we going to have, like, a little three-way battle to the death that happens? Like,
I guess so. I think we'd have to, at that point, make, like, a playoff bracket, and then whoever wins that would be the winner.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still think we should make a playoff bracket just so you can have enough content.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be making one either way, so.
Oh, I'm sure your parents will send, your dad will send, be sending my dad a link, and then I'll be getting a link.
How it always goes.
Yeah, you know. All right, so we got some news. Is Chris back? Chris, hello, my friend.
Hi, I'm all good.
Okay. Chris, do you have anything you want to say about McDavid's goal?
It was okay. I did one just like it and drop in last night.
So. Except for you went Bardowski, right?
I actually did score 2 really nice goals yesterday, which were not typical, but I was really pissed off. So apparently that makes me play a lot better when I'm mad. And Mike's thinking to himself, you're mad all the time. So what are you talking about? But I was especially mad last night. So, but yeah, I did a couple of really nice toe drags. I basically dad suit somebody, and I don't even know how I did it, and I probably couldn't awesome. Do it again, awesome. But I did it.
Actually, speaking of drafting hockey, Chris, not this weekend because we're in it, but next weekend, next Saturday night, I'll actually be in Tampa. You want to play a little drop-in on Saturday night at Wesley Chapel?
Let's make it happen. Hopefully there's hockey on Saturday night, Wesley Chapel. Yeah, so we will.
Because I actually am coming down next Friday night because I have a soccer tournament all day Saturday. And then Sunday night, me and my parents are having dinner before I go back to Orlando. So Saturday night will be I will most likely be tired, but oh well.
Yeah. Some dedication right there. Holy.
Well, I mean, I don't. Me and Chris used to skate like 3 times a week, do play drop in like 3 times a week. So it's now that I've moved, it's obviously difficult. So whenever I'm in Tampa, I try and make an effort, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd appreciate an invite one of these times, but whatever.
It's Dalton, cool. Dalton, listen, there's always an invite, buddy. You are more than welcome to drop in.
Cool, I just need a ride.
Yeah. I'm sure someone won't be too hard. If you just give them gas money, like, they won't care. You drive all the way down.
No worries. You know, I got a playlist set up for a long road trip, so it'll be good.
Yeah. All right, so NHL news. Now, this is where I'm at. So first thing is John Cooper signed an extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think really anyone's surprised by this. I mean, how well the Lightning have done since he's been the coach. I think they've only missed the playoffs since he's been a coach like 4 times. And they've won the President's Trophy, I think. This will be number 2 for him. I mean, the dude is on a roll. So
maybe the Stanley. Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. But so my question for you guys, actually, I'm going to be stealing this question from, I think, the 31 Thoughts podcast, is if the Lightning, like, get knocked out in whatever, and honestly, if they don't win the Cup this season, sort of like the way that, like, you know, when the Capitals kept winning, and then they'd never win the Stanley Cup, and then everyone's like, oh, man, I think Barry Trotz needs to go. Do you think that if they don't win this season, the Stanley Cup, that people will maybe start to criticize him a bit more, even though he signed this extension?
I mean, I think people will criticize him. I don't think it'll be all that warranted. Like, winning the Stanley Cup is so hard, even if you're such a stacked team like the Tampa Bay Lightning are. But people are going to criticize him. Fans are going to hate no matter what, right? As long as you don't win, so... But I don't think any serious criticism are going to drop up, unless it's like a couple years in a row now that he doesn't do it. But
yeah. Chris, what do you think about it?
No, I agree. I think it's so many things have to go right to win a cup. You know, you could lose your starting goaltender in the first round and be pooched. You know, somebody can underperform. Another team could get really hot. They could have a hot goaltender. So, I don't know. I don't think you can put that on the coach. I think the proof is in, you know, how well does the team play its systems? How often are they motivated to play? You know, that kind of stuff. And I think obviously Cooper gets really high marks for that.
I mean, like, for coach or like President's Trophy winning teams losing the first round like all the time. Like the Kings did it a couple of years ago, beat the first President's Trophy winning team on their way to their Stanley Cup. The Oilers did it on their cup run in 2005-06 to the Detroit Red Wings. Like, stuff happens, right? So,
yeah. All right. So then I have Zdeno Chara signs another 1-year extension. Zdeno Chara is currently 42 years of age. He will be 43 next year.
I mean, I'll be honest, I thought he was going to be retiring like a season ago or two. So him to keep on going, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing since his first season in the league was 1997-1998. So he started playing the league before I was born.
That's insane, dude.
There's not many of those players left in the league, But so how do we feel about this for Boston? So currently he's got 58 games played this season, 5 goals, 9 assists, 14 points, plus 20. He's got a 54.0 Corsi. I mean, he's also playing on a very good Bruins squad. So what do we think about this?
I mean, you've seen his role take a little bit of a step back in these last couple seasons, but like he's the captain. He's going to be a veteran presence on their blue line until he decides to retire. And like his game isn't totally that speed dependent at all. So I think he'll remain an effective NHL defender for just at least this coming season.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's not like with age, his 6'9", 250-pound body is going to get any smaller.
Yeah. And apparently, as well, he has just insane training and fitness regimens that he does. Like, Charlie McAvoy.
What was that word, real quick?
Which one? Training, fitness, regimens?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Sometimes words get lost in translation, you know?
right.
Yeah, I read a story about Charlie McAvoy when he was injured at the same time as Zdeno Chara, that his goal was to get out of being injured as soon as possible because Chara just pushed him so much harder than he was used to.
So, Chris, what do you think this does for Boston?
Silence. I love it.
I mean,
they're not the Jets, so Chris doesn't care.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, it's stupid screensaver. I just got an update to my phone, so it's doing different things than I'm used to. Sorry. What does it do for the Bruins? I mean, they get somebody with a million years experience. I mean, the last game I saw him play wasn't too long ago, and he looks like a solid bottom pairing defenseman. And of course, you know, somebody with that much experience, you want that person on your team. So I think it's great for both parties.
Yeah, I agree. All right, boys. Well, now we can get into the fun stuff, the real meat and potatoes of the episode, if you will. So first one, and they're all just comments, all media comments, so no actual hockey. The first one is Drew Doughty has been running his mouth a little bit this week, boys. And on two people. So would we rather start on Drew Doughty's comments on Brent Burns or Drew Doughty's comments on Matthew Tkachuk? What do you think, Beth? I'll let you guys choose.
I think did he say the Brent Burns one first?
Chris, what do you think? Which one do you want?
Matthew Tkachuk, because they're both dickheads. I actually like Brent Burns. So the other two can go down.
Belton, I think your answer has been overruled, because I think Chris beat you to it.
Yeah, he is a lot more passionate than I am on this one, so let's go with that.
I don't think so. Okay, so first off, Tkachuk and Doughty have kind of gone back and forth every time they've played. It's always kind of been aggressive, no matter what. So then they played this last week, and it all really started because Tkachuk elbowed Doughty in the face, causing him to lose some teeth a year ago. So before the game, Doughty says to the media, "I have no respect for him, none. I respect everyone else. I'll never talk to him off the ice. He's not respected by most of the people in the league. It's not just me. That's just a fact."
I believe it.
And then in the game, then Tkachuk and Doughty are talking, and then Doughty just looks at him and just two hands slashes him across the shins.
He kind of deserved it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So do we feel, though, that this is just Doughty lifting off, or do you feel like maybe this is, like, people across the league just kind of don't like – I mean, obviously Tkachuk's a pest, but like, to say that no one respects him is a little bit more of a dig at him, right?
I agree.
It's a huge dig at him.
Look who his dad is.
Yeah.
His dad was a big piece of shit, too, and he was a Jet. And so for me to say that about a former Winnipeg Jet takes a lot. That whole Tkachuk family can go, like, suck a bag of dicks.
Hey, don't be hating on Brady, okay? He's a good kid who pisses off my fans.
Yeah.
Throw them all in the same box.
I just love Brady Tkachuk because he's got a goofy face. He's got big ears, and he can't stop smiling.
Yeah, he's got less of a punchable face than Matthew. So
every time I see like do a close up on him, he's chewing on his mouth guard. I'm like, let me at him.
I know. Just drill him right across.
Yeah, of course. If Tkachuk was in the same room as me and you, Dalton, we'd be like, "Can I get your autograph?"
I don't know if I'd be getting his autograph, but I sure as hell wouldn't be throwing punches.
No.
I don't know, guys. I am not that way about hockey players. If I don't like you, I don't like you. If Corey Perry was in a room with me, I would try to find a way to kick him in the balls.
Yeah, see, I'm a bit of a suck up. I mean, if you throw like any NHL in there, I'm like, can I get a picture?
And then you're the worst.
I mean, there's a couple NHL players that I don't think I would go get a picture with. I don't think I'd go get a picture with Corey Perry. I don't think I'd go get a picture with Matthew Tkachuk or Manny Flames. But I mean, I like Goudreau, all right? I can't hate him. I can't. He's just an adorable little man child who's very, very good at hockey.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I dislike Tkachuk. You guys are a lot very heated about Tkachuk, so it seems we're all on the same page. So yeah,
I will never forgive Tkachuk for basically ending Davidson's career.
That's right. He did do that. Yeah, yeah. He really hasn't been back. I mean, Davidson's been doing nothing.
Nah, he's got a little bit of time in Chicago, but not much.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make something crystal clear here, though, boys. Drew Doughty's also a fucking pile of crap.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But there's a difference. There's a difference. Like, I think that players around the league have a lot of respect for Drew Doughty because he is one hell of a hockey player. And even though he does things and he plays really tough, I don't think he's a dirty hockey player.
I think you're right. He definitely plays kind of a grit, kind of – Yeah,
he plays hard
for sure, but like
he's gonna hit you and he's gonna try to like make you hurt. He's gonna try to make your spleen come out your nostrils, but I mean, he's not gonna do something dirty.
In the way that he plays, like how I describe Matthew Tkachuk's way of playing is chicken shit hockey, where
exactly
that kind of hockey that chicken like shit. If that guy's my teammate, I still hate him,
yeah.
P.K. Subban
and,
hockey.
And so I was going to say that about that, between Doughty and Tkachuk. Like if you go to almost everyone in the league, they're all going to be like, oh, man, I want Doughty on my team. Whereas I don't think you're going to have as much of a unanimous kind of like, man, I want Tkachuk on my team, you know?
Yeah. Like if I was alignment with Tkachuk, we would score a lot of goals together. But I'd never give him a little fist tap or anything like that. I'd be skating right back to the bench every time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Diva. So much drama.
So
just and Boz just skates back to the bench. No cheers.
Tkachuk lining up for
no celebration.
Oh, and he doesn't get one.
Denied. Hugs everyone but Tkachuk.
They all go into the little huddle and they pat each other on the head and slap each other's butts. Tkachuk, no butt slaps, no head pats.
No.
No, you don't get any butt work at all.
I probably wouldn't flip him off because, you know, I'm a good teammate still, but I'd be thinking about it.
There you go. Yeah, definitely be in the back of your mind, for sure. For sure.
Absolutely. All right, like, if he wasn't looking, I'd flip him off, though.
Yeah. I can already see the GIFs of, like, on Twitter. Boss flips off the check, and, like, he's, like, getting water or something like that. You just see you just see Dolphin from, like, underneath the bench just, like, flip him off and put his drone back on.
Can you imagine the media interviews after something like that?
Yeah, for sure.
It was just a glove malfunction.
Exactly. All right, so then Doughty, later in the week, he then goes on and says this about Brent Burns. So first off, this isn't Doughty says he endorses Giordano as the Norris frontrunner. Giordano has 72 points and he plays good defense. Burns gets beat 3 times a game, literally, and everyone has him up for Norris. I just don't get it.
Like, Burns isn't even the best Norris candidate on his own team.
Yeah. Well, so first off,
Brent Burns is a beauty, but he's never been like a defensive stalwart ever.
He literally played right wing for like 4 seasons.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, like, as a winger that has sort of transitioned to playing defense, it is definitely kind of weird. Because, like, as soon as the puck leaves the zone or something like that, like, or, like, even looks like it's going to leave the zone, you're like, I got to get there. Or, like, if the puck's coming in, right, as a winger, you're normally like, oh, you know, kind of lollygagging, you know, and take the defense, make sure he doesn't get any point shots off. But then, like, if someone's coming at you as a defense, you got to, like, be in the space, you know, force them to the outside. It's definitely a bit different.
Yeah, well, like, wingers and defense are the two extremes, right? Where center is kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing center, a little bit of offense, a little bit of defense. Wingers tend to cheat a little bit more offensively. Defensemen, of course, a little bit more defensive.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of the biggest disconnect between wing and D.
So, I mean, I don't think really anyone disagrees with what he's saying. But, I mean...
it's funny to see him say it.
Yeah, of course. So, okay, so now I'm also going to steal this from a couple other podcasts I listen to and pose the question to you guys. Do you think they should keep the Norris Trophy, but they should change, like, right, because the Norris Trophy right now is for best defenseman. So I think they should keep the Norris Trophy and call and award it to, like, the best defensive defenseman. So that means, like, your Mark Edward Vlasics aren't getting it. Maybe, I mean, listen, Giordano's putting up a lot of points, and he's good at defense, so maybe Giordano's in that conversation as well. And then I think they call it, like, then they should have another trophy called, like, the Bobby Orr Trophy or the Paul Coffey Trophy and award it to the highest scoring defenseman. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm always down to add another award. That sounds like a fun idea.
They've needed to do that for a long time. Too many bad defensemen have won the Norris. PK Subban. Have you seen that guy? That guy gets raped on the daily.
You just have so, like, much hate for PK Subban.
Oh, he's the
Dude,
worst.
I love PK Subban.
He's the worst part of everything. He's the worst. How
Probably
do you
the
love
loudest Christmas cheered all season is when Kyle Connor walked in.
Oh, so hard. I watched that replay a million times. It was so good. PK Subban is so overrated, and he's such a he plays chicken shit hockey. He may not be as dirty as some of the other guys who play chicken shit hockey, but he stirs the pot up, and as soon as anybody wants to go toe-to-toe to him, he just backs down like
so,
a little girl.
So, Chris,
he's the
if
worst.
You saw PK Subban in a restaurant, would you ask him for a picture?
Absolutely not. I would ask him if I could take a picture of me punching him right in his fat face. That's what
Chris
I would
is
ask.
Heated.
Yeah, but
he probably stepped down from me too because he's a little baby. PK Bayban is what they should call him.
I think I just found the title for the episode.
PK Baby.
PK Bayban? Oh, I thought it was gonna be no butt play for Matthew.
Oh,
Kachelli.
That's also good.
That's also a good one.
Well,
I don't know if I'll ever hate anybody as much as Chris hates like 40 people.
Chris, honestly, you go play hockey. As soon as Chris enters the realm of hockey, there's nothing but hate in his heart.
That's how you have to play hockey. With hate. We definitely have to play hockey sometime, Dalton.
I mean, like, I go out and play hockey. I'm just like, oh, yeah, let's go have some fun, guys. You know, play some cool moves. I'm pretty sure if I tried any of that kind of shit, Chris would just two-hand me in the back of the head or some shit.
Dude, I'm
– No, because you can play hockey. Good hockey players always get a pass for me. Always.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude, when – so Chris is, like, a pretty hard player to play against. But, like, as soon as it's, like, me coming down on him and I'm, like, trying to do moves or whatever, he immediately – like, because most of the time in pickup, he just kind of backs up a little bit, forces people to the outside, and then kind of works them over once they get below the goal line or towards the board. But as soon as it's me coming down on him, he steps right up. He's going for the hit every time, right in the
I gap
board.
Him. I gap him so hard.
and I think – even one time when I came in, I did a real slow toe drag, and then I yelled a little bit too loud about it, and now Chris has never let me walk him again.
Oh, I was so mad. It was one of those things where, like, you know, you're out of position, so you have to skate towards someone, which just puts you in such a bad position. Oh. And then he just toe dragged me. And, of course, because I was going the wrong direction, I couldn't even recover from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're just screwed at that point.
He was pretty excited. Let's just say that was one of the highlights of his hockey career. Yo. And he hasn't had one since with me.
But there's, yeah, like, no better feeling than dangling somebody so completely that they don't even touch you as you go by them. It's just,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So then before we get to the last little bit of comment news, I'd like to give a shout-out to the Calgary Inferno. Pro women's hockey team out of Calgary for winning the what's the cup called?
I don't know, dude. It's like, is it the Clarkson Cup, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. The Clarkson Cup.
I think it's called the Jill, guys. It's called the Jill.
All right, Chris is banned from the podcast. Continue.
By the way, I probably have more respect for women and women's hockey than most people, but I do like to give them a hard time.
Well, I mean, like, I didn't even know that Calgary really had a team. So
yeah, they just won the Clarkson Cup. They beat Marie-Philippe Poulin's Canadiens team. Although I will say there was a little bit of controversy about this game because she did not play. Poulin did not play in the game because she was suspended.
Ooh.
What?
Yep, she had suspended.
How do you get suspended for a oh my gosh. Yeah.
I think the game before she missed the finals and they won. Though if you guys are looking for a really funny Twitter account to follow, the Calgary Twitter account is actually quite funny.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as they won, some little bits of it were shown up on my Twitter and I gave them a look at, and it's pretty funny content, actually, I will admit. So then my last bit of news is about Evgeny Kuznetsov and Don Cherry.
Oh, dear.
Don Cherry's favorite word this season has been the jerk, calling people jerks. That has been his – if you were to give Don Cherry a brand for his coaching corner this season, it's the jerk corner, because that is what he does. It's old man shakes fist at sky. So last Tuesday it was – the Bird Selly bobblehead night in Washington, and Don Cherry called him a jerk, and Kuznetsov came back and he said, do you guys want me to read this in my best Russian accent?
Please do.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. You know, that's what hockey should be, for fun. Fans like it, you know, and the way he talk, it don't make him look good, right? If he think he good, he should check his record when he coach in CHL. That's it. No.
That was wonderful.
Now, that was amazing. I'll you have a career.
I think so. I'll reread it so you guys get it. You know, that's what hockey should be, for fun. Fans like it, and you know that's the way Cherry talks. It doesn't make him look good, right? If he thinks he's good, he should check his record when he was coaching in the CHL, and that's it. He should shut his mouth.
I love how he points to his, like, CHL coaching career.
That was so specific.
Yeah. So do you guys want to know his record when he was in the CHL?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's terrible.
He coached 2001-2002 the Mississauga Ice Dogs, and the team had a record of 11-47.
Oof.
Yeah, but weren't they? That was his team, didn't he? Like, wasn't that an expansion team?
It doesn't say in the article I'm looking at, but okay. So first off, he was a part owner and the general manager of the Ice Dog, and he famously refused to draft European players for 3 years. And then he was forced to reverse that decision when his team won a grand total of 3 games in the entire 2000-2001 season.
No.
Okay. So first of all, I don't really like – so this could open a whole political can of worms, but – The CHL is supposed to be a developmental league for Canadian players. So I think he probably went a little bit overboard, but I understand trying to protect that for Canadians. Doesn't it make sense?
They do have the limit on international players that only, I think it's like 3 a team or something like that.
Really? I had no idea about this.
Oh yeah. I play a lot of like hockey simulators and what have you. So sometimes they're pretty accurate, but yeah, they can have like I think it's 3 overagers and 3 international players.
All right, interesting. And that's the CHL. So like, but do the OHL and like the WHL have these rules, or just the CHL?
the CHL is
Americans. CHL is the governing body of the OHL, the
QMJHL.
Thank you. Yeah, I knew there was letters there. I just couldn't say them in the right order.
So
there's 3 leagues.
Okay. Yeah. So those leagues then have the same rules.
Sort Correct. Of.
Yeah, well, to an extent.
Yeah, like I think the OHL has an American draft as well, where the others don't, maybe. It's a little bit weird.
Okay, so then how does a team like Halifax get Nico Hischier?
They also have an import draft where a lot
that
of the
sounds
time...
racist, but okay.
Well, and so basically they just, same way they have like an NHL entry draft, they have an import draft where you can only draft players that are from outside of Canada,
okay,
or
okay,
so forth, well, all within a certain age. And there's like two picks I think they get to do in the import draft.
Got it.
And
long story short is, like, I mean, I don't mind somebody trying to protect the Canadian game for Canadians. I think that's just a philosophy type thing, but that's my opinion about it. I don't think that people should not be able to, but he should be able to protect the right to just draft Canadians if he wants to.
Well, it looked like he was allowed to, but then he only won three games.
Yeah, it might have, but only winning three games, like the import players, I think at the time even still only were like three players on your team. So that's not why his team was awful, but they're probably a part of it.
Yeah, right. So then getting back to the original comments from Chair and Kuznetsov, I mean, I personally love the Birdman Sally. I think it's great when he, because he doesn't do it all the time. It's when he either scores a nice goal or like an important goal. I remember when last playoffs, when he came down and they finally beat the Penguins. And first off, it's a beautiful goal. And he does that Birdman Celly. That was awesome.
Yeah. I'm kind of the opinion that, like, players should be able to celebrate however they want. Especially if it's not, like, there's obvious exceptions, like the pointing, using your stick as, like, a pseudo-gun and pointing it at the other team.
Yeah.
Which I think, was it Peter Sikora did maybe back in the day? Which
no,
was
I
a little bit...
I think it was Anisimov.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. But that's a little far. But, like, anything that's, like, just you and your teammate celebrating, go ahead. Go buck wild. Do whatever you want.
So, Dalton, then, what is your go-to Sally?
Man, I don't really Sally in beer league because...
Well, obviously not. But, like, you score a big goal or whatever. If there's an important goal and you're going to Sally, what's your go-to?
Oh, dude, I was so bad at sellying. Normally, it was like the little one-handed fist bump little thing, almost a McDavid style, on one foot. But normally, when I was playing hockey, I was just too caught up in the motion. I just was like, yeah, hands in the air.
So that's how I was with soccer. When I would score goals in soccer, I just do a little jump and a fist bump and go, woo! But now, when people bring me on to their coaching staff, part of my resume will be is I'm an official selly coach. I have perfected almost all of them, but my go-to is you drop down on one knee, you grab the front of the jersey with the logo, you hold your arm out, you like just shake the logo, point, show it to everybody, like make sure everybody knows who did it.
So I have my final beer league game of the season coming up on Wednesday, and this, like, how the beer league that I play on, it's like a group of 40 guys and they just play against each other every week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like most of the weeks it's competitive, but like people, we're all friends at the end of the, off the end of the ice time. Right.
Right. Right.
But this final ice time, it's kind of like the gloves come off a little bit. It's like the championship game. So I'm going to use that Celly in that game.
There you go, buddy.
That kind of BM is like what I want to do.
Or if you really want to give it to them, all right, my one I've been using a little bit recently, you score, and then you do the Radulov. You go down one knee, and while you're on one knee, you sheath the sword.
Oh, that's a sick one.
Yeah. Chris, what is your go-to, Sally?
You've watched me play hockey. I've gone a whole season without even getting a shot away. I don't have celebrations. I don't celebrate. I honestly, even when I did that Datsuk and I toe dragged and scored on the goalie, like I just skated back to the bench. Everybody's like all woo, and they were all like making noises and stuff because it's not like me to do that. I usually sit back.
Yeah.
But I would love to play. So if the three of us ever play Shinny together, this is what we got to do. The rule is you have to have a different celebration every time you score.
Oh, bet. Dude, I've got like 30.
I know. I've got a bunch that I could do.
I was going to say, Michael's not going to score more than like one goal. So you're pretty good there.
Wow. Poor Mike.
To be honest, though, if I'm going to pump Dalton's tires a little bit there, Chris, I feel like Dalton's going to beat us in a game of Shinny.
You never know until you step on the ice.
He should, but I'd really love for him to come at me one-on-one, so we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. All right, boys, well, we got a lot of games to predict, so let's do the predictions. Chris, I don't know if you heard about how we're doing the predictions for this week and next week.
Yep, I was here.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so this is the majority. We got four games each, four games Oilers Jets each, so we got eight.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and then next week we only got two. So, Chris, you got a one-point lead on us, but we're coming for you.
Okay.
So, first game of the week is tonight. The Winnipeg Jets play Montreal at home. Chris, kick us off, buddy.
Well, I want to say the Jets are going to win because they just got tied by Nashville. And if they want to hold on to first in the Central, they have to win. But something about the Habs, man. I don't know. They just play the Jets really well. And I'm going to say, especially, I think the Habs are fighting for their playoff lives right now. So
they were just knocked out off Columbus. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Tied in points. Columbus is a game in hand.
I'm going to say that the Habs are going to beat the Jets 4-3 in overtime.
4-3 OT. You said Habs win?
Yes.
All right. Dalton, what do you think, buddy?
I am agreeing a lot with Chris here. I think the Habs definitely have a lot more to prove right now. They're fighting for their lives. I think it's going to be a 3-1 Habs victory.
Wow. All right. Well, so I probably would have also predicted the Habs to win because I just kind of want to see Montreal in the playoffs again. I don't know. I love Carey Price. I think Carey Price is awesome. But in the sake of gamesmanship, I'm going to say the Jets are going to win it 4-3 in regulation.
Mm. Yeah, but see, you're not really being honest to this game. You're just trying to like go against me so that you can get a point. I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's cheating as far as I'm concerned.
He's doping. Yeah, get him out of here.
You gotta pick who you think's gonna win. You don't pick who I didn't pick so you could win.
All right. Fair enough. All right. From here on out, we'll pick like that, but I'm keeping my pick for that one.
What a dick.
Well, he's a Corey Perry type now.
He's the Corey Perry of podcasts.
No. See, I've already written it. It's in pen. Like, I have to write it out. I've got all these.
You'd have to go get some whiteout. It's all the way down at the store. It costs like $1.50. That's just too much work.
Yeah, see, exactly. So, then the Oilers also play tonight at home against the Ducks. Dalton, what do you think?
Big Oil victory, 4-0. Koskinen shutout. Book it. Let's go.
4-0 win. Koski shutout. All right. Chris, what do you think, buddy?
I think the Ducks are going to win 3-1.
Ooh. 3-1. Ducks are in a back-to-back. Just letting you know, Chris.
Yeah,
don't care.
Oh man, this is a tough one because Calgary, there's been a bit of a pattern where it's like Calgary will a team will be playing Calgary first on a back to back and they'll beat Calgary and then they'll lose to the Oilers, or Calgary will absolutely curb stomp them and then they'll beat the Oilers.
But it's also worth noting that the Ducks are gonna be playing Gibson tonight too.
Oh, man. But the Oilers, no. Oilers are going 5-0, making the playoffs.
Let's go.
Book it. I'm saying Oilers win 5-3. All right. Then on Monday, the Winnipeg Jets go on the road for the rest of the week, and they start off their road trip in Chicago. I'll start this one off. I'm going to say Jets win this one 4-2. Chris, what do you think?
I think the Jets are going to win this game 4-2.
Oh, all right. Anything different to set yours apart?
It's called gamemanship. Look it up.
Yeah, man. It's called Corey Perry Podcast.
Dalton, what do you think?
I actually think the Blackhawks are going to win this game. 3-1.
All right.
The Blackhawks are rolling right now, man.
A bit, I guess.
They rolling.
So then the Oilers also play on Monday against the Golden Knights in Vegas. Dalton, start us off, bud.
Big 4-1 Oilers victory. Book it. Cups coming home. Plan the parade.
Chris, what do you think? The screensaver, I'm assuming.
Chris is dead. Long live the Chris.
I'll do mine real quick. I'm going to say Oilers flip the script, and they win 6-3.
Ho ho.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, are you live?
Knights are going to win.
Oh,
all right,
oh.
What do you think?
Knights are going to win 3-1.
Look at that gamesmanship.
Lots of 3-1 losses. All right, so then both teams actually play a back-to-back on Tuesday. Jets play first. They play in Minnesota. This is a big game for Minnesota and the Jets, honestly, because rivalries and all that stuff. So, Chris, I know how much you hate them, so why don't you start?
Yeah, I can never predict a wild win, even if I thought there was going to be one. So I'm going to say the Jets are going to win 4-1.
4-1, Jets win. I'm going to say Jets win this one. I'll say 2-0. Dalton, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a 1-0 wild win.
Ooh, 1-0 wild win. All right. Then the Oilers play on Tuesday as well. Their second half of back-to-back in Colorado. I'll start this one off. I'm going to say Oilers win this one 5-4 in overtime.
Ooh.
Dalton, what do you think?
I'm picking Colorado.
Oh, no.
I have to. It hurts me so. 4-3. Ah.
4-3 Oilers lost. Chris, what do you think?
Oilers going to win 2-1.
2-1 Oilers win. All right. Then last two games of the week. Then the Winnipeg Jets play Colorado. Also, again, in Colorado. These are huge games for Colorado because they're also trying to make the playoffs. Dalton, start us off.
Jets win. 3-1. Good job, Jets.
3-1 win. I'm going to say they beat Colorado 3-2. 3-2 Jets win. Chris, what do you think?
Jets win 3-1.
3-1 Jets win. All right. Then the last game is the Oilers play at home now against San Jose. This is the second last game of the season. So, Chris, start us off, buddy.
Oilers win 4-2.
Chris, you just got so much faith in the Oilers this week.
Yeah. I'm going to say Oilers are going 5-0. They're going to win 3-1. Lots of 3-1, so I'll stick with it. Dalton, finish us off, buddy.
San Jose with the dubs.
No.
4-3.
Oh. All right, boys. Well, that does it for this podcast. I mean, do you think I should tell everyone where they can find it?
Just in case, because I forget every week, dude. So
okay, you can find it on Delta Blue Line Podcast, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Delta Blue Line Podcast. Hey, we have a website. It's called www.southwoodblueline.com. We have articles and links to our podcast and articles that we write. I will be coming out with another one when the season ends, doing a little Oilers season wrap-up. Dolphin, I might consult you on this one. Maybe grade the players a little bit. Give them like a player ranking. You know, like
hit me up, man.
I'll let you know. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. So that does it for episode. What are we on? 23.
Hey, that's my number.
Oh, also, boys, quick update. We're at $2.85.
What?
Yeah.
$2.85 American?
Yeah, $2.85 USD.
Dude, that's like 17 pounds. That's pretty good.
All right, boys, that is it. I will see Chris. I'll probably see you next weekend, buddy.
Chris is dead again. Rip.
See you, boys.
Peace.